Welcome to Full On Friar, where I get to tell you about my absolute favorite team in the entire Major League franchise, the San Diego Padres. When I tell you that I love San Diego, you don't understand half of my love. I was born and raised as a San Diego kid, and with that comes unconditional love for my team. Growing up, I got to see so many games, and even into my adolescent and adult years, my love for the team and game have grown exponentially, watching seasons pass by, guys come and go with the same desire to bring home a championship. Not for the franchise, but for the city. My name is Giselle Lopez, and I have the pleasure of getting to talk to you about my team. In the second episode of Full On Friar, we're going to talk about the recent changes that have gone on with the Padres. We have a new skipper, we've lost a lot of people are coming back from injuries, and we have the big Yankee trade that I'm going to share my opinion, and although others don't necessarily agree with me, I've come to terms with it and to be okay with it, but there's still a little bit of anger there. but that'll be last. Right now, let's start off with the new skipper. So originally, the Padres skipper was Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin helped the Padres achieve postseason dreams, and although we didn't get to go all the way, he did get a pretty good start on them. And that 22 season is what I'm talking about. So going into the 2023 season, everyone was so excited. Everyone thought that it was going to be our year, and when injury after injury kept hitting and things just weren't going our way, it brought some tension in the front office, which has already been there between Bob Melvin and AJ Preller, our general manager. There's always been some head bonking going on between those two, and everybody knows it, they know it, so it's not anything that's such a secret. But Mike Schill is bringing a lot of positivity this season. He was hired back in November of 2023. He's the 22nd skipper for the Padres, and Schill has been with the organization for the past 2 years as an instructor, advisor, and occasionally overtaking for third base. He knows what the team excels in, and he knows what needs to be improved. Being with the team for the last 2 years, he knows which players are great where, which is probably why he swapped Ha-Seong Kim, normally our second baseman, to shortstop and put Xander Bogaerts, who was signed as a shortstop from the Boston Red Sox, over to second, which was a little scary, not gonna lie, but I mean, it's kind of working out right now. We'll see how it goes. He's also the former head coach of the St. Louis Cardinals. He took over the Cardinals in the middle of the 2018 season and almost took a .500 team that was struggling all the way to the playoffs, which is pretty impressive and is exactly what San Diego needs. St. Louis finished the year in a 41-28 record under Schilt, who returned for the 2019 season to lead the Redbirds to the National League Championship Series and won the National League Manager of the Year award. Honestly, I'm not great with change. I did enjoy Melvin's management. I thought he brought a lot of great ideas, and he knew how to manage the team. He knew really what worked and what didn't, and he brought that attention to the players and was like, hey, we need to change this. And for us to go back to the playoffs and go as far as we did and work as hard as we did was really a testament to his management. And I was sad to see him go, but wish him the best of luck in San Francisco with the Giants. But my biggest worry with Mike Schilt is that the contract he signed is only for 2 years. I don't know if that's enough time to shape a World Series winning team. Maybe it is, and then the next manager we get, if we don't re-sign him, will have like the team ready for a World Series ring. But I feel like it's the overall goal to win a World Series ring with the manager you have, with the team that you have. And a lot of fans were okay with the fact of rebuilding the team from a bunch of rookies like Arizona did. And I don't see that happening. We have a lot of older guys who are pretty experienced, and we're still trading and buying players, but also experienced players. So you might get a mix of both. But with Mike Schilt, I'm not familiar with his management style. I don't know exactly how he works. Looking at the spring training games, I feel like he's a very encouraging skipper. But also what I've heard coming from the clubhouse is a lot of player character coming out and them taking the initiative to get in shape and get better at their position or get better in the batting cage. So who knows really where this season is going to go. But hey, here's to a new skipper, right? Before I get into our newest player additions and the free agents that we've received and also unfortunately had to let go of, we do have a solid team coming back from injury. We've also had some strains in some new players that are on and off, but I'll get into that in a bit. Pitching has been a recent frequent problem for the Padres, and it doesn't make it any better that the biggest issues are in our starting aces. It really sucks to see Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish end last season out on the injury list, but looking at the spring training games, looking at their social media to share how they are bettering themselves for this coming season gives me a lot of confidence and hope in them. Joe Musgrove ended the 2023 season a bit early on a shoulder inflammation. His plan was to come back for the end of the season, but unfortunately didn't work out, especially because we did not make the playoffs. Yu Darvish was out a bit after Musgrove with an elbow inflammation, and he's all better. You can see both of their hard work come out, both in the gym and at the field. And Joe Musgrove actually did a pitcher's camp kind of thing for the Padres pitchers, not only for the new guys coming in to, you know, get acquainted with the team and build that relationship, team bonding kind of stuff, but to strengthen one another and to strengthen themselves to get ready for the season and put on a pretty good show, which I really appreciate from Joe. After some time off, rest, and strength workouts, both pitchers have returned to spring training and are ready to pitch. Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish pitched some great games. If you go back and watch Joe Musgrove's game, they're a little bit scary, but it's because he was trying different pitches, and once I learned that, I was like, okay, that's fine, but let's not do that in the regular season, because he was the first pitcher to pitch against the Dodgers in the very first spring training game, and he let up 6 runs in the first inning without an out, and it was super scary to see, and I did not like it. I turned off the game right away. But he was just working through some control issues with the ball and getting it to where he wanted and not in the zone where the batter needed to be, which I appreciate that he is trying out some new stuff and wants to surprise the batter with out of the blue kind of stuff and not in his normal back pocket, because it does help a lot to not know what your pitcher is throwing. But at the same time, spring training is a time to get used to these players again and, you know, bring out your armory and make sure that it's all still working. And yeah, throw in a few things, but don't pitch the entire inning that same pitch, because then you're scaring the people watching at home. Those are our two pitchers that were out on injury, but now we also have Manny Machado and Jake Cronenworth coming back from injury. Jake Cronenworth was out with a broken arm last season, but has made a full recovery over the offseason and is back like he never left. He's even improved in his batting, which is what we need from Jake. He's an excellent first baseman, but definitely needed to come up a little bit more on hitting. And finally, for our injury list, Manny Machado, our star third baseman, underwent surgery to repair his right tendon in October of 2023. During spring training, his workouts and training were not as harsh as usual. The idea was just to get back into the game and regaining strength. He also didn't play much third. He was more of a designated hitter, just to, again, make sure that the leg is okay before we put him into a lot of work at third base, because you really got to be ready at third, ready to get that out before it can make it home and score. I watched a video from 97.3 The Fan, and they basically said that the plan was to put in the work at the plate before going out to third, so that way he's prepared and ready physically and mentally for the Korea Games against the Dodgers. There's one more injury that the Padres have had to deal with, and that is with Yuki Matsui. And if that name sounds a little newer, it's because he is. This is our newest addition from Japan, and in his very first game, well, spring training game, he has pitched the best inning I have ever seen control-wise. And it might have been that because he was pitching so well and was really nervous for his Padres debut, that he might have taken it out on his back and ended the game with some back tightness. He was out for a few weeks, but is now ready for the Korea Games. He's out there with the team, and he's made some really great connections with the other pitchers, which is really great to see. This man has the potential to be one of our greatest relievers, if not our closing pitcher, which now I'm going more into the free agency stuff, our newest additions, and our losses. He makes a great replacement for Josh Hader, who was our usual closer, who is now signed with the Houston Astros. In addition to losing Josh Hader, we also lost Blake Snell, Michael Wacha, and Nick Martinez. We also lost catcher Gary Sanchez, as well as Juan Soto and Trent Grisham. Now, we lost a bunch of other players too, but these ones are the big names and the big hitters that are definitely affecting the lineup and the bullpen. As I mentioned before, we acquired relieving pitcher Yuki Matsui, which I'm really excited about. He seems really promising, which is exactly what we need after last season. But closing is one thing, but we really needed a bunch of starters, especially after losing Blake Snell and Michael Wacha. Nick Martinez was a relief pitcher, but he was starting to get more into the starting side. He would pitch an inning or two and then swap out with another reliever to go for another inning. And it would just be like that to give our regular starters some time to rest and heal up. But other than that, he was really just a utility person. Wherever they needed him, he was ready. But he had so much great control over the ball that I really enjoyed watching him pitch. The most surprising from this list, and for all baseball fans everywhere, is Blake Snell. Blake Snell was 2023's National League Cy Young winner, and he still hasn't been signed, which is absolutely insane, and I cannot wait for this man to get signed. He needs to sign now. Stop messing with us. He posted on his Instagram story a few days ago a pitch black story with two eyes, the eyes emojis, looking to the left as if something was coming. And it drove me crazy not knowing what it was. I listed a bunch of things. I was like, did he get signed? Is he in agreement with the team? Did his girlfriend have the baby? Are they getting married? Are they moving? What is it? Because this man is that good that somebody needs to sign him. And the fact that he still hasn't been signed is insane. Unfortunately, there is no way that the Padres are re-signing Snell. It's not in the budget. There was a budget made for this offseason and what we would purchase or trade. And his asking for a deal, I believe it was $283 million for a 9-year contract. And there were a few teams interested in him, like the Yankees, the Giants, the Angels, and the Astros. But Yankees don't have that kind of money. Angels are out Shohei Ohtani, so they really need some pitching. And the Giants are the Giants, and so are the Astros. The Astros just got Josh Hader. So, honestly, I would like him to go to the Angels just because I don't want him to go over to the Yankees. And I'll talk more about the Yankees in a bit, but honestly, the best deal for him is going over to the Angels because the Angels really do need some help in pitching. Jerickson Profar also came back to the Padres for an additional year to play in the outfield, as well as Randy Peralta off of the free agency list to strengthen the bullpen a little bit more. He came over from previously playing with the Yankees. While we have unfortunately lost a few pitchers, we have gained a few as well. The offseason with the Padres started off with a trade with the New York Yankees, which broke my heart a lot because we traded Juan Soto and Trent Grisham, big powerhouse guys in our lineup, and we've acquired four pitchers and a catcher. When this trade initially happened, I was not excited about it. I was so mad. It broke my heart because then we had a hole in the outfield and our lineup was missing two big hitters, and I didn't think that it was worth it. I didn't think that Juan Soto and Trent Grisham, huge names in the MLB, were traded for four pitchers and a catcher who I didn't really hear of. And when the official trade happened and the news of everything was out there, I read somebody's article saying that one of them will start on our official lineup. The other three are going on the minor league lineup. That just made my anger so much worse because we just lost two amazing hitters for one pitcher who will start on our lineup, a catcher who will probably start in the minor league but come up when injuries happen or if needed, and then three of them are being thrown away to the minor league. That was an unnecessary trade. I get it. We can't really afford Juan Soto. But you shouldn't have thrown Grisham in there with it. Because honestly, at that point, that was just dumb. But I didn't understand why they did it. And I'll get to that in a bit. As for Juan Soto and Trent Grisham, they're doing great in Yankee pinstripes. But that's where they had to sign Profar for the year to come as a replacement for one of them. And then we also had Jose Azokar, who was in the outfield, and Fernando Tatis. But Azokar was usually just a sub for when Juan Soto couldn't be out there for as long, or Grisham couldn't be out there as long. But then they also brought in their top prospect, Jackson Merrill, who has spent a few years in the minor league. But this spring training, he really did prove to Mike Schilt and to the whole front office that he does deserve a chance to be on the main lineup, and that's exactly what he did. Mike Schilt put him on there. He's in Korea and is most likely going to start on the official opening day lineup. There's one more trade that went down with San Diego, and that was the trade with the Chicago White Sox for Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is being called a like-for-like when being compared to Blake Snell, which I've dug up on this guy, and I don't see it as much. I'm hoping that what they mean is we're getting a doppelganger kind of guy compared to the 2023 Blake Snell, because that's what San Diego needs, and that's what San Diego wants. But to get Dylan Cease, we had to exchange four pitchers, two of which came over from the Yankees and two we already had in our back pocket. So they're over there in Chicago, and Dylan came over on the last spring training game in Arizona that the Padres played against the Athletics. One thing that I am really excited about this guy, other than his amazing pitches, is that I'm excited to see what he can do for the team. He seems promising, and in all the videos that have been posted about him, he seems really excited to be sporting the brown and gold, which is my biggest thing when it comes to players. I want the full-on, I'm here for this team and I'm ready to win, which unfortunately is why I got so mad with the Yankee trade. Was not because the trade happened, but with Juan Soto. I loved Juan Soto. I was a big Juan Soto fan. But when it came down to being traded, we all know that when you go into the MLB, you want to be that top name with that top team. And those top teams are the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Yankees are just a historic team, and everyone wants to go play for them. I completely understand that. But when Soto came over to the Padres, it took him a few months to change his Instagram from Washington National colors to Padre colors. And the only reason why I noticed that was because when I saw him in his first game as a Padre, against the Washington Nationals at Petco Park, I saw that he still had it, and I was like, that's a little fishy to me. I don't really like that. I think you should have immediately swapped it because you're on a new team. Like, your loyalty is now with this team, not with the Nationals. I get it. You've been there for a long time. Your career is with the Nationals, but you're on a new team now. So it's time to switch it up, buddy. And he did. It took him a while, but he did. And then when it came down to the trade, when everything was being posted on social media that it was going to happen and Soto and Grisham go to the Yankees, I was like, you know what? That hurts, but I'm happy for them. And I go to Soto's page. He had posted something on his story. He had already posted about being in Yankee pinstripes and had already changed his Instagram page to being Yankee pinstripes. My mind was blown before even saying a thank you to San Diego. That broke my entire heart, and I was mad. I'm still mad with Juan Soto, but your loyalty should have been with San Diego after you were traded, and before you go to this other team, say thank you to the fans that stood by you and supported you and poured love into you. Your neighbors that were so happy for you, every game you hit, you got a hit because you were in a major slump. I mean, come on. That was just a slap in the face towards San Diego. And I know a few people who were also mad at that fact and noticed when that happened too. But you know what? Go have fun in Yankee pinstripes, and I wish you the best. That was kind of a sour way to end the podcast episode, but it really did show you how deep my love rolls for this team and truly how faithful I am to my Friars. But I'm not the only one that has deep love for the Padres. In the next episode, we'll have somebody special from the Padres community come on and talk to you about their love and their faithfulness to the Friars. Bye.